I believe the Lord is bringing us this new year. We are to talk about enter his rest. Enter what? His rest. What did I say? What did I say? Enter his rest. You said, Pastor, I heard about you before. Then hear it again. How many of you eat rice? Last week you said, I'm not eating rice again. No, you keep eating. Because the more you hear, the more you understand, the better it works for you. Matthew 1:11-28. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Jesus said to us, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you what? Rest. What did he promise to give us? Rest. Then verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Let me teach you something. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Because I am number one, what? Humble. And number two, what? Gentle at heart. And then you will find rest that I'm talking about for your souls. Then verse 30, he assures us. He says, for my yoke is easy to bear. So what I'm going to show you is not difficult. It's easy to bear. And the burden I give you is so light. The Message translates this verse and says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. I will show you how to take what? A real rest. And in another place, our Lord Jesus put it differently. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace is my peace. Remember I said, my rest is what I'm giving you. Now my peace is what I'm giving you. It's not your peace. It's not somebody's peace. He said, this is my peace I give you. I'm giving it to you. Not as the world gives, do I give. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So our Lord Jesus Christ is inviting us to come and enter his rest that he's giving, to come and accept his peace that he's giving. And he says, this peace I'm giving you, this rest that I'm inviting you to, to accept it is an act of humility. He said, come, let me show you how it is done. Because come and take my rest, you may not know how, but if you come, I will teach you how it is done. He said, it teaches you humility. Teaches you what? Humility. And gentleness of heart. Teaches you humility and gentleness of heart. So, and you know the Bible talks about that God places very high premium on a very gentle spirit. And you say, how is it connected to this? Yes, it is humility to trust God. It is humility to say, God is God and I'm not. It is humility. The Bible says to bow yourself under the mighty hand of who? God. How did he put it? Bow yourself, right? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. So it's humility. Jesus said, come, let me teach you the way I live my life. It's a humble way to live. It's to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Come and see the way it is done. It is a gentle thing because you don't you take over life and start doing stuff. No. It's a gentle thing that you follow. You follow as God leads you. It's a humble act. The opposite is also not what you want to do. It is pride not to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. It's pride not to subject yourself to divine power, divine wisdom, divine guidance. It is pride where you say to God, I don't really need you. I know what I'm what doing. I can take charge of my life. It is pride. And it's not a gentle spirit because it brings you really restlessness when you start stuff like that. So it is faith that pleases God. It is faith that what? Pleases God. So, and our Lord Jesus Christ showed us in practical times how he trusted the Father, how he lived trusting the Father, how he depended on the Father for everything. He was so humble, so lowly in spirit, that he said, the Son can do nothing of what? Himself. He wasn't bragging. He was not bragging. He gave all the glory to God. He wasn't competing with his Father. He took a lowly position. The Bible said he became less than a slave. Said, I don't have any ability to do anything. I don't even have my wisdom to say my own word. That's humility. The Bible says he humbled himself and took the position of a servant. And less than a what? A servant. He became a slave who have not his word, who depends on the master for everything. The position of a slave. And Paul later on said, I'm also a slave. A slave of Christ. I too have become what? Slave. I don't have my word. I don't have anything. I follow Christ. Became a slave. I've learned how to be a slave of God. It's not a forced slave. This is slavery you yield yourself willingly to and say, God, you are my master. Whatever you say goes. Amen. So John 5:19. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. You see how it is. He does only what he sees the Father what? Doing. Can we read it together? He does only what he sees the Father doing. Can we read that statement again? He does only what he sees the Father doing. Can we read it again? He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son what? Also does. Who does first? The Father. Then who does the one you do? You see why it's humility. He said, I can't do anything except my Father does first. Whatever I see my Father do is what I do. So he said, we should come and learn this reading of rest. Now, can you come for a minute? If I want to submit to Brogode in the way that I don't have to bother, all I need to do is whatever I say God did do, I what? Do. Now who does the thinking? What do I do? Am I not resting? Huh? So now if I'm following him, and then can you come in front and block, come and stop us? Come on. If I'm following him and this man comes in front, whose business is it? Who is going to face? It's God that is in front of him. And what's my business? So I rest. Jesus said, come and rest. Stop all this trying to stop. Because if you go before him and this man shows up, you don't have anything to handle. Praise the Lord. But if he goes before you and this man shows up, he says, I will make even your enemies to be at peace. What? I'm going to make him serve you. Yeah, I'll make that guy who wants to kill you do what? Serve. And then they wanted to kill Moses. And God said, no, because I'm walking before him. He said, now you pay the mother to take care of him. The man that wanted to kill him was now paying the mother, supplying the milk and the napkins. That's what God does. He turns this guy to serve you. God is awesome. Can I hear amen? Man, he makes him what? Serve you. He serves your Moses became boss. Thank you. The Moses they wanted to kill was now heir to the truth. I want to ask you, how much effort did Moses make for that? They picked him where he was big, didn't know anything. And taught him Egyptian language, gave him the best milk there was at the time. He wore the best napkins and everything. Maybe they had a, what do you call this one? Eh? No, not a bantel, but there was not the other. Praise the Lord. So you see what Jesus was saying, come learn from me how to walk in humility, in trusting God. Don't think you're wise. Don't stop thinking you're wise. Don't thinking, you know, I have understanding. Brethren, we don't have understanding of this world. We don't have understanding. This life is too complicated. You don't even know where something is coming from. You have no idea. You just have no idea. Even your own mind, you don't even understand this. Not sometimes. Because you do some things and you're like, whoa, did I really do that? Of course you did it. So Jesus was so dependent on the Father. 1 Peter 2:23. That even when people stepped on his toes, he still trusted the Father for everything. 1 Peter 2:20. He did not retaliate when he was what? I want you to hear that one. He did not retaliate when he was what? Nor threaten revenge when he suffered. Now stop there. Can we picture me there? Didn't retaliate when the usher said I should move. I mean, we're not even outside of the church. We're still within. And the usher says, sister, can you move a little? He hasn't even insulted me. But I'm like, you think you brought me into this church? Did I come here because of you? No. I don't want all this temptation around me. No. Please. You know, we're laughing, but let me tell you something. I want you to hear me. Those are the little foxes that spoil your vine. You pay great price for such foolishness. I'm not kidding you. The Bible says those things trip you off. You can't make spiritual progress. You don't want to know what those things do. You want to go and read the Bible and hear what God says about the proud, that he resists them every day of their life. That thing is something you want to run away from. You want to run as fast as what? Possible. You want to. He said, come, let me teach you the rhythms of grace. How to be at rest. Take my peace. Stop struggling. Move. You want me to move? Case closed. Lift up my hands and God flows through me. But I do all that thing and I quench the spirit of God. And I leave here with nothing. You think the usher lost? You lost. You lost. Praise the Lord. So he said about Jesus, put it back, please. I want us to read. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of who? God. Who always judges. We forget this part. We forget this part. That God is the judge of all flesh. There is nothing that will escape his judgment if we let him. If we what? Let him. If we let him, God will judge it fairly. He knows why that person is doing what. Sometimes the person you think is wrong is not really wrong. You might be wrong. I told you people how I have a neighbor who doesn't stop greeting me and everything. I told my wife, I said, a neighbor doesn't greet me. He said, but you greet him now. I said, I've been doing that. And he's not responding. And I was in my office and the Lord said, you go and beg him. I said, what? He said, you go and beg him. To whom much is what? Given. Much is now. He knows nothing, but I've taught you a lot. So if there's anybody that I expect now to go and be humble, it is you. I don't expect any righteousness from him because it's not going to be you are the one I'm holding responsible. Because I've taught you a lot. He said, if I died for you when you're a sinner, why should you go and make peace with him, even though he is wrong? But you go and beg him. And I went. Think it's easy? Not easy. Jesus said, if you can't carry your cross, you cannot follow me. You have to pay this price. I went to a man who would greet me. And I was going on my knees. I said, Samson, I don't know what I did. I don't understand your culture. Maybe I violated their culture. But whatever I did, please forgive me. Say, yeah, that's okay. But we come to church and sing, follow, follow, I will follow Jesus anywhere. And he leads you to your neighbor and say, beg him. And you say, no, no, I'm not going there. He said, but if you are following me anywhere, everywhere, even in your job, your supervisor, you're still not greeting him. And Jesus said, I'm leading you still anywhere you will go. I will follow. I'm leading you to your supervisor. That's why you're going first thing in the morning to go there and say, I am what? Sorry. Oh, no, I won't go. God, do you know what he did? What? No, you are not ready yet to enter his rest. Because that thing will cost you. Immediately go to work. Adrenaline. Why is the rest? You see, God says, my ways are not. You can sit up and argue your case and feel you're right. You can bring up any reason you want. If God doesn't approve of it, it will profit you what? It's foolishness. You, at the end of the day, you lose. See, this thing we're talking about is so important. That's the way to victory. When you hand it over to the Lord, he knows how to handle issues. Can I hear him? Yeah. Do you know those kind of people? One day they will come to you and say, you know, I don't understand, but you know, there's something in your life that I want to follow. I did all this to you, and you still came and said, sorry. I've never seen anything like that. You see, what you're showing him is the life that is not common. You are showing him the life of who? Christ. The humble life of Christ. It's not common. It's not common. It's not regular. It's not the normal mainstream stuff. It's totally different. Praise the Lord. Are we making progress? The ways of God look foolish. And if it doesn't hurt your flesh, I'm not sure you're understanding what God is talking about, because your flesh will resist it. Because it's not the way of the flesh at all and doesn't make sense to your brain, but it makes sense to he that's guiding you, because he knows what he wants to do. And only he can do anything for you anyway. So Jesus said we should come and enter, rest, and learn from him how he trusted his father in everything. And I want you to check your life. This is not that I'm preaching. Go and check where you've been frustrated. And check and find out that God was never in need. Go and check anywhere you've been frustrated. If God is in need, there can be challenge and difficulty, but find what happens. You have rest and peace. You don't know where it's coming from. You say, I will keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is what? Stayed on me. No matter what, you can't ruffle them. That's why Paul said, none of these things say, move me, because I know in whom, because I'm following him. I'm following. Somebody called me, said, Pastor, I hear you want to sell this place. I said, yeah. He said, well, we're interested. I said, did God tell you? I said, you're interested. Did God tell you your church will buy? I said, did you pray? Did you ask? Who is leading you there? said, because you know, we don't have the money. I said, did God tell you? I said, the money is not the first thing. I said, this place we bought, we didn't have the money when we came to buy, but God said, go and what? But I said, the primary thing is he leading you? Because if he's leading you, everything is solved. And I began to share with him my life. And I told him, I said, I don't even know why I'm a pastor. I said, I don't qualify. I said, I'm just thinking, how did I end up being a pastor? I said, God should have left me to be a pharmacy, do business I wanted to do. I wanted to be an international businessman. And I went to London once, and I planned it well. Carried my, bought a bag, a special handbag that looks like business executive. Immediately I bought that bag, picked it up. I slipped like this, hit my head backwards. I was flat. Restored. Immediately I took the bag. I went like this. I was lying back. You know, for the first time, people were so kind. They ran to, are you okay? Are you okay? I go, because in Nigeria, they don't ask you, are you okay? Nobody asks you that kind of question. If you fall, they say, I got to get up. I beg, customer is coming. Get up. We need, customers are coming. You are blocking. Yeah, which one do you want? Is it this one? Please, get up. So they rushed. Are you okay? Are you okay? I said, I'm okay. I got up. You know, I never knew the lesson of that thing. But I never knew the lesson of that. It was many years later, the Lord said to me, when you pick that bag, you fell flat. He said, when you pick what I'm not in, you will fall flat. You will fall flat. Because I said the Lord builds it. He said, that was you. Flying all over Europe. I was flying everywhere. Business class, KLM, upper deck. That was flying all over the place. It was cheap then, 500 or something, naira, you take you all over Europe. It's not now. Praise the Lord. So I was telling this man, I said, I don't know how I got here. I said, I'm not qualified. I said, I made a statement. I said, I'm the least qualified to be a pastor. He said, Pastor, that's the language God used for me. He said, God. He said, man. He said, look. He said, I was in my house many years back, and I had God speak to me. He asked me, he said, have you thought of why I use the list? He said, that's the language you just used. He said, have you thought of how I use what? The list. And he said, I was minding. He said again, have you thought of why I use the list? And then he said, God took me from Genesis to what? Revelation. He said, when my son came, what did they say? Can any good thing come? He didn't even have a room where he was delivered. He was delivered with animals. And he said, David was the least. Nobody expected it. Jephthah, the least. David was the least. Abraham wasn't even amounting to anything. He said, it took me 12. He said, because Jesus said, for so he has pleased you to use babes. I will use foolish things to confound what? He said, I'm always choosing the least. I go to the dunghill. That's where I pick them. Because I don't want to tomorrow. Somebody say, because I'm qualified. No, I want to make sure you are not what? Qualified. So there is nothing you can say to say it's me. You know, I know that so much. I know I'm not qualified. So if you think I'm not qualified, you are correct. You are correct. But he put me. There's nothing I can do. Praise the Lord. So I was telling him, I said, see, you need to. Is he getting you to buy this thing? That's the primary thing. I said, we never bought anything because the money was there. He said, this one we're buying. Ask them now. It's not that the money is there to buy it. But I know what he said. We moved and the money came. No, you have to move first. The resources will now. It's when you move, when he moves, you move, his hand begins to provide what you need. All of it. And you will move in rest, in peace. No struggling, no calling phone everywhere. Do you have something to borrow Nigerian like borrow us? No, they will bring it to you. The thing will pursue you and meet you. Overtake you because God has need of those things. Praise the Lord. So now, the Holy Spirit came and began to tell the church in the book of Hebrew. You know, the book of Hebrew is so unique because it has a lot of things that some of the writers didn't even bring up. So unique. It's a marvelous book that you should study. It has a lot of revelations in it. It talked about Jesus Christ, you know, being the voice of God, that God used to talk to us through the prophets, but now he speaks to us through his son. It talks about Jesus being higher than angels. Made very marvelous points that, you know. And he talked about Moses being faithful in his time, even though he was faithful, that Jesus was also what? Faithful, but Jesus was higher than Moses because he was the builder of all things. And then he began to talk about the high priestly office. You don't read about high priestly ministry of Jesus in any other book, I don't think so. There may be, I don't know, but it's in the book of Hebrew. You find him talking about the high priestly office of Jesus, which some Bible teachers think Zechariah saw in the vision that God showed him about Joshua the high priest. They think that that was what happened when Jesus entered into heaven. I won't go that far, but they think that that vision that he had was about Jesus stepping into heaven with his own blood before the throne of grace. But I won't go that far, but they have their reasons, they have their comparisons and everything. So he talked about this ministry of Jesus Christ, and they compared the high priestly ministry of Jesus and told us that it is patterned after the order of what? Melchizedek. Then he told us about how the old priest performed. He said these people, that their ministry was inferior to the high priestly ministry of Jesus. They used the blood of animals, which couldn't clean, wash away sins. There were people that died. He said they were sinners themselves. And then, you know, he said their ministry couldn't continue because of death. And then he showed that, and they had, each of them would have something to sacrifice for the sins of the people. So he brought Jesus in and began to show that his high priestly ministry was superior because he came with the blood of God that can wash away what? Sins. And the sacrifice he gave was himself. Was himself. And, you know, that's Paul was writing, alluding to this thing, and saying that if Christ did not rise, then we remain what? So God needed that high priestly office of Jesus to present for ratification all of that thing that happened, what? On Calvary. Because if he didn't rise, even though he died, but if he didn't rise, then we should remain what? In our sins. And the Bible says he rose for two reasons. Number one, that Romans said he rose, that his resurrection showed that he's the Christ. Because he said, the son of Jonah, I'll be in the belly of the earth. How many days? He said that shows it. And he said he rose for our justification. Go ahead, read it. He rose for our what? Justification. How did the justification come? So the book of Hebrew is so unique. It's a book you should go and study. It's so interesting. Very, very interesting. And so when the writer, I believe that Hebrew was a series of teaching that was given by Mark. Was finally what? Recorded. Because the reason I say so is because he started all these teachings, came to chapter 3, began to talk about the high priest and things like that. And then, you know, and then in chapter 5, he said, but you people are not understanding me. He said, you're not even listening. So he said, this thing we are saying, the word saying is what he used. This thing we are saying, you are not understanding it, and you are not even listening. It's like I'm shooting over your heads. And we didn't have internet at the time, which means it was something he had said by mouth. So he knew they were not understanding. Because how do you know they're not understanding if you were not there? So he said, you people, you are not understanding this, and you're not listening. He said, but you are supposed to have grown enough to understand all these things. He said, you are only drinking milk. I said, we were supposed to go higher. And then in chapter 6, 7, he continued what he was talking about. So it's a book that is really very unique, and we should be able to prayerfully study the book of Hebrew. If you do, it will bless you. Amen? Amen. So now in that book of Hebrew, the writer brought up this thing again. Enter the rest of who? God. The same thing Jesus was saying. He brought it up again. In a deeper way. He brought it up again. Then he began to warn the church that if you don't enter his rest, you will fall. You will succeed. And like I said on Thursday, it's a warning we must take seriously. Because the writer was all over the place warning and begging the church. He said, not only am I warning you, you too should warn one another about this entering the rest of God. So can we do some reading here? And then before I read it, let me even make it clearer so you understand what we're reading. Because when he wrote about it, he said, these things are difficult to understand. He even admitted, he said, yeah. He said, what I'm saying is what? Difficult to understand. He said, bet you should grow to be able to understand. So let me bring it lower, to the lower shelf. Now listen to me. Let me tell you a story. At least story is easy to understand. See, God had Israel as a shadow. When we read the book of Hebrew, we see where it talks about the ministry of Moses being a shadow. Now, God had Israel as a shadow of the church. Because if he didn't have Israel, how would you understand the sacrifice? How would you understand the priestly ministry of Jesus? How would you understand, you know, that blood washes sins and things like that? So he used it as a shadow of good things to come. And what happened was that God gave Israel a promise. We call it the promised land. Their land that flows with milk and honey. Are you sleeping? Are you following me? The writer of Hebrews said these things are difficult. But God wants us to teach it anyway. Now it's no more difficult. Because I'm telling you a story. Amen? Amen. So that land is the promised land. God says, I'm taking you to your promised land where you worship me. And that land is full of milk and honey. So when they were nearing there, he said to Moses, get some people to go and check out that land now where I'm leading you. And so they chose 12 people. So they went, checked out the land, and came back. And the people rushed them and said, man, how was that place? How was that place, you know? And then 10 of them said, you don't go there. He said, that place is full of giants. The other two people said, no, we can't go there. God has given us the land. What are we waiting for? But those people said, okay, here are the fruit. The fruits are big, really beautiful. It's really beautiful. But there are what? So the other two people said, no, we can take the land. God has given us this place. And then the other 10 people wanted to make their case stronger. They said, now, not only giants, that land will swallow you if you go there. He said, it's a land that swallows the inhabitants. Which means if you stop in there, the land will open up. And then you will go. I mean, my question is, how did they still meet any inhabitants? He said, what they wanted to do was to reinforce their own stand against those two. Because now it's an argument thing. So they wanted to bring out their own more points to say, you don't know what you're talking about. We saw that, but that land can kill you. It's a toxic land. Don't go there. So they were making all these points. And the people of Israel got really scared. They started to cry. The Bible said they cried all night. When you get 3 million people crying all night, you did a good job. All night. So now in the morning, the conversation continued. And then Moses said to them, why are you rebelling against the Lord? If he says this is our land, let's go and what? They took stones to kill Moses. Read story. They said, want to go back to Egypt. You brought us here to kill us, we and our children, in this place that swallows people? Are you crazy, Moses? We'll kill you. So they were so angry, they picked up stone to... And immediately the glory of God showed up. Somebody shout hallelujah. I told you, if God sends you, don't worry about what people do. They will do nothing. At the critical time, he will defend his glory. God showed up. And when the glory of God showed up, God said to Moses, I want to consume all of them. A to Z. And Moses said, if you do that, people will say you are not able to defend them. He said, you should forgive their stupidity and foolishness. God said, okay, I do. But God turned around and said, but see all of them. They are not going there. Because it's what they say that they will have. They are not entering that place. He said they will die in the wilderness. Their carcass will be here. He said 40 years will be walking around there until all of you die. He said the only people that will enter there are your children. The same children you say are going there to be prey are the ones I will send there. But none of you will see that promised land. And they all died in the wilderness. All of them. Why? Because that's what they believe. It shall be to you. That's what they said. They refused the land that God gave them. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying, that God gave them a rest. God had prepared a place. And all they needed to do was to what? Go in there and enjoy it. And then the writer of Hebrews said, but God is giving us another day of rest. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. Are you following me? Yes, eh? God is giving us another day of what? Rest. That was then. Now this is now. Now there's another promised land that God has given us. All the promises of God are yea and amen in who? Christ Jesus. He said God is giving us another opportunity now to go and possess this land. To possess this land. Possess all the blessings. Possess this land that flows with milk and honey. He said now when you hear his voice telling you about this land, harden not your heart as in the provocation. When they provoke God. Said, you people don't try that. If you do that, you'll suffer the same fate like. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So now, that's the layout that the writer of Hebrew laid out. And he was telling the church that we must enter his rest. We must go and possess the things that God has given us. Like they brought the fruits and said, this is what is there. There are also things that is in Christ. The Bible says, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places are where? In Christ Jesus. So the Bible says God has given us all things that pertain to life. God is everything you need is in Christ. Everything you need is in Christ. The Bible says go in there. Go, go. In him you live, move, have your being. And the scripture said that the Holy Spirit was given to us so we know those things that are freely provided for us. So we go and take them, enter the rest of God. You don't have to work for it. It's already provided. Is anybody following me? Yes. And I was illustrating. I said, when you come into your house, come from your work, the place is clean, man. Somebody cooked some good food for you. Lasagna. He's biting his tongue. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Immediately I say lasagna. He did. Are you Italian? Lasagna, meatball. Man, the way you are looking at me, Paul. Why did I even use that? Let me even go back to jollof rice and chicken. You know, the thing is set for you. Now, you know, if that person didn't do that, if you came back, you are supposed to what? Do that. So when you come back and they set for you, you know who gave you the rest now? It's the person that so you are entering into the person's rest. The rest he provided you is you don't have to suffer. You don't have to cook. I've done it. It's on the table. All you need to do is sit down and eat. So you enter into his rest. God is saying, I've prepared the table before you. Enemy or not, I've prepared the table before you. So you come and sit down and do what? And eat. Enter my rest. You don't have to struggle to produce it. You don't have to struggle to do that. It is already done. Praise the Lord. And it's all these things that God has provided that we're going to be talking about the more. Because now I realize that the reason we are failing and suffering is that we're neglecting them. Because if you take a hold of them, it will work like God said. Can I hear amen? Amen. If you take a hold of it, it will produce exactly the reason that God gave it to you. Somebody shout hallelujah. I mean, somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you don't take a hold of it, the scripture says you will fail. You will fail. You will succeed. Because there is nothing else that God provided you to succeed in this life except what he's giving you all in Christ. Now let's read Now you can understand Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5. Moses was certainly faithful in God's house as a servant. His work was an illustration of the truth God will reveal what? Later. You see, Moses' ministry is an illustration, it's a shadow of what God was going to reveal later on to us. To continue. But Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house. And we are God's house. We are God's house. We are the house of the Holy Spirit. If we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope, we are in Christ. If we keep your courage, because there are things that will challenge them. They will rise up. But if you call them giants, you lose your confidence, you will fail. You will fail. They will rise up. The giants will rise up. Of course, they will. But the table has been prepared to you in the presence of all. And God didn't say to you, be careful. They may not. No. He said, go eat it. So if you, it says, if we keep our courage, tap your neighbor and say, keep your courage, man. No, you should put it in American language. Say, keep your courage, man. And remain confident. Remain confident. Remain confident. Church, 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 remain confident in our hope in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Remain confident. Things are going down here. Remain confident. Things are not working the way you want it. Remain confident. It is the devil showing you giants. Don't talk about giants. Talk about the land that is flowing with milk. Because as a man ticket, so he will end up in. Don't talk about the, I told daddy, I said, daddy, I don't talk about those things. I don't testify to the devil. I don't give testimony to the devil. You shouldn't either. The Bible says, his praise are continually, yes, not talk about the devil is doing this, devil is doing that, devil is doing that. Devil. He will do, that's his ministry. But your ministry is to be confident. Your ministry is to be what? Let everybody mind his own now. At the end of the day, we'll know who is who. Praise the Lord. Because that noise they're making, one day you wake up, you will see them. Because the counsel of God stands no matter what. God is looking for who will believe my report. Who? That's all I want. I don't want too much talkers. I want who will believe my report. Who will be struck. Who will be confident in me. Who will know that that land I gave you, everything I said there is yea and then. So, the next verse. Next verse. That is why the Holy Spirit said today now, when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart as Israel did now when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. See? There, your ancestors tested and tried my patience. Even though they saw my miracles for 40 years, 40 years, so I was angry with them and said, their heart always turned away from me. They refused to do what I told them. They won't choose my way. I tell them to trust me, they won't. So what happens next? In 12. 12. So in my anger now, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of what? Is that you coming? And then instead of you sitting down to eat, you're railing at your wife, and you're talking to her, and you're talking to her like that, and you're talking to her, they say, eh, okay. You see this too? You're not eating it. The hunger will teach you anything. God says, I prepared things for them. They rejected it, so they're not going to taste it again. He says, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts too are not evil and what? Unbelieving. Turning you away from the living. Say, be careful. Be careful now. Verse 14. Is it? What did we read? 13. You must warn each other. You must what? Every day. Every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. What sin is he talking about? Evil heart of unbelief. He said, every day, warn each other. That's the best you can do. Warn the person, hey, make sure you don't have this evil heart out of unbelief that rejects what God has done. If you read, the prophet warned the church. He said, you see, you people perish and wonder why you are. He said, because I do a work in your day, they tell you won't believe it. He said, that's why you get into this. Amen? So you must warn each other every day. What is still today? It is still today. So that none of you will get into that. Verse 14. 14. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God. Ha, hallelujah. If we are faithfully trusting who? God. Just as firmly as when we first believed. We will share in all that belongs to Christ. Everything that God has becomes yours. But you have to be faithful. The way you trusted him when you got saved. What did you do to be saved? You just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? He finished the work of salvation for you. He just finished it. You came and said, I receive it. I'm now saved. So receive Jesus as your Lord. I don't see us saying, okay, I started to work for my salvation today. Let me see how far I've gone. Let me labor to get saved. No, you don't labor to get saved. Salvation is already provided. He said, the same way you receive that, the same way you receive every other thing that God has for you, you must keep that confidence the same way. And then you have everything that God has for you. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Now let's read chapter 4. Did we read verse 15? Eh? Now let's read 15, 16, 17, 18, and then we'll go to chapter 4. Chapter 3, 15, 16, 17. Remember that it says today. Remember, he's still talking about, remember he says today, when you hear his voice, don't what? Harden your heart, as Israel did when they rebelled. So he called it rebellion. 16, and who was it who rebelled against God? Even they that heard his voice, wasn't it the people Moses led out of Egypt? 17, and who made God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it the people who sinned? Whose corpses lay where? The widow. He said, this is what happens when you reject life. You reject life that God is providing. Your corpse will end it. Chapter 4 now. Chapter 4. God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. He said, we need to. This thing will make you tremble. Because the consequence is terrible. Verse 2. Keep going. For this good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us just as it was announced to them, but it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. He said, God is announcing a day of rest again. He said, but this good news that God is announcing, it won't profit you unless you believe. The next verse. For only we who believe can enter what? As the others, God said, in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest, even though this rest has been ready since he made the world. Verse 4. We know it is ready because of the place in the scripture where it mentions the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested from his work. Why is quoting this? He's saying that we know, because when God finishes a work, he stops. The work is finished. So when God says, I finished, then God has what? Stopped. The work is done. It's done. So the next verse. 6. 5. But in the other passage, God said, they will never enter my place of rest. Verse 6. Keep going. So God's rest is there for people to enter. But those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God. They didn't want to listen. They were not serving. So God set another time for entering his rest. And that time is when? Today. God announced this through David much later in The words already quoted. Today, when you hear his, do you see how many times he's repeating this today? Today, today, today. If you hear, don't reject it. Don't, today, warn each other. Today, 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 today. Today again, Sunday, 01-15-17. I'm telling you now, enter his rest. Praise the Lord. The words already quoted. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Continue. Now, if Joshua has succeeded in giving them this rest, God would not have spoken about another day of rest still to come. Just keep going. So there is a special rest here waiting for who? People of God. It's waiting for us. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from what? Their labors. Just as God did after creating, he said the work is done. You don't need no labor to do that. Now, Brother Obi asked a very important question. He asked a very important question about if we enter this rest, are we not supposed to do something? I said, yes. What he told us to do is to go and possess it. And how do you possess it? Faith. By your faith. If you say it's yours, conscience, then you defend it. What is yours? You defend it. Praise the Lord. You don't let the enemy steal it. And then you don't do things that ruins the whole thing. You defend it. That's why the Bible says, these little foxes, they spoil your vine. That's your vineyard, where you get stuff. You do this thing, they spoil it. So you don't do stuff that spoils it. You don't do things that kill your faith. You do things that enhances your faith. Praise the Lord. So what verse did I read? Like, maybe I'll stop there. 11. 11? Okay, so let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God as the people of Israel did, we will what? We will fall. But by faith we stand. You know, it's so simple to understand these things. It's very, very simple. What do we gain from laboring when God says, I'm done? I'm done. Let me tell you something. You know, I told you, this story might even help you to understand it. Some years ago, and good, I wasn't even a pastor or something. I told the people, every day I have a dream that I'm in the coffin. And they will bury me. Bury me and I'll see it. Every day. 7 days. Unless I didn't close my eyes to sleep. They will come, I will see that beautiful coffin. And I'm inside there. That is, if you know how a corpse looks, I wasn't looking so beautiful there. But that was me. And I will see the grave, they will put me. And they will say, we are buried every day. And every single time, listen, every single time I see that thing, because I'm in his rest, I will smile and say, but you know what he said? With long life, he will what? I didn't do nothing. I had his peace. I said, that's not his testimony. I know what I have. With long life, and show you his what? I didn't pray about it. I didn't call any pastor to pray. I didn't bind, didn't lose, nothing. I simply entered his what? Because in Christ I have life. He gave me a promise of life. He said, with long life I will what? And in fact, one day I laughed so hard. I said, David, you are so childish. They want to scare me with all this nonsense. I don't have time for you. Do you know, I didn't even tell a soul about it. Not even my wife. 7 days. Where am I? Talk to me. Where am I? No headache. Not. But you know, I could come outside this rest and begin to do something. And get restless, and then they will confuse me the more. They will send people my way, who will send me here, send me there, send me there, send me there. And then I hear prophecies and prophecies. It is your enemy, it's your mother, it's your this, it's your that. They complicate your life so badly. And God said, you will fall. You will fall. Because what they are doing, I'm not in it. The work has already been what? Done. Just enter and take it. The way you believe me the first time, that's all you need to do. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. My question to you is, where am I? Preaching. Praise the Lord. Then I have this one that, man, I couldn't breathe. When I mean couldn't breathe, you know, you wouldn't understand this thing. When I come here, I will dance. But when I go home, see the way I wish to walk. Then we went to convention. Somebody looked at me and said, something is wrong with you. I said, nothing is wrong with you. I said, nothing. Then one day, I didn't know I would survive the month. I said to God, I'm ready to come home. Your word is true. I said, I'm ready to come home. I'm ready to go home. I said, your word is true. I'll never call you a liar because you saved my soul. Your word is true. You healed me. You healed me. Your rest is what I have in that period. Then it became so bad, so they made the fire 7 times more. So I just managed, first thing in the morning, I drove my car to St. Barnabas. I said, let me even know what is wrong. This is the way I walked from there to their emergency. Immediately I got there, I told them the symptoms. They said, you sit down, no, sit down. You won't get up anymore, sit down, sit down. They were running all over, crack up, crack up. I said, is this what they do to people? Crack up, crack up, crack up. Then two of them came. They said, we're cardiologists, and I'm Dr. Susu, and I'm Dr. Susu. And then, you know, we need to take you in. We'll check you out right now. I said, doctor, I'm going home. I just want to know what is wrong. I'm going home. I didn't come for you. Can't hear me. I said, I didn't come for you. Really? I said, I'm going home. I said, hey, I want to know the thing by name. I want to rebuke it by name. I said, I'm going home. Oh, he said, no, you can't go. We're keeping you here. I said, I'm telling you. So they wheeled me in. Blah, 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 they gave me this cloth they wear. You don't buy it in Macy's. Macy's doesn't sell it. So they ran. They put something here. Put this one. Took my blood. And then they ran. They run all over the place. These people would have no rest at all. So they went, put the thing. Before long, they came back. Took more blood. I said, my blood is finished. Abba, it took before, now you are taking again. How much more is remaining? How much is remaining? All I have now is water. The girl laughed and laughed. He said, no, we need to take it again. So they took it, and then I have just realized that today. Wow, this is what people pass through. And then after some time, the doctor came back again. He walked in and stood. I cannot forget it. He was looking at me. He said, there's nothing wrong with you. I said, I told you before. So I can't find anything wrong with you. I said, I know he's behind that. Then he said, but you know one thing we're going to do is we're going to put camera through your blood vessels to your heart to see. I said, you can't do anything, but I'm going home today. He said, no, you're not still going. So they took me in. They said, we're going to knock you out. We'll tie you down. Am I a prisoner now? Tie me down. So they tied me down. So they brought me in. And they started their business. And somewhere along the line, I woke up. I said, are you done? He said, no, I'm 60% through. He said, but you have fantastic arteries. Is it artery or whatever? He said, it's so wonderful. You have nothing. As I told you before. So they now finished. He said, look, there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing. He said, you know you can go. I said, I told you when I can. So, but you know, they kept me the whole day. They put the one that I'm monitoring, the whole day monitoring. The food they gave me was water. They said, that's what I eat because they're going to do that thing. I said, what drink? He called this food. It's water because it's only water or something. I'm not sure it was there, but I ate it because I was hungry. So when I finished, I went back to the room where they put me. I collected my things, dressed up. See how I walked away. I got into my car. Praising the Lord. I praised the Lord to the house. My wife didn't know where I was. Knew nothing. Brethren, I want to tell you something. Where am I today? What is that thing? You have to learn to enter what? Which means rely on Him. rely on the cross. Rely on the finished work. Rely on the finished work. Rely on the finished work. Rely on the finished
work.
It will work for you.
I just want to add something.
Oh, so don't tell them my secret too.
Amen. Praise the Lord, church. You see, his mind was at rest because he knew in whom he has
believed. Yeah.
He was fully persuaded because let me tell you, he was always fellowshipping with the Word of God. So he was fully persuaded in whom he had believed, in spite of the feelings, in spite of all that he was seeing happening to his body. The striving to enter into his rest is because there are things that will challenge your timing to fellowship with the Word of God, to come for Sunday school, to come for Bible study, to pay attention even while you're here in the church, to fellowship with the Word of God at home, so that the Word of God will build your faith, so that you will believe what the Word said. So when the chips are down, you too will be able to stand and say, no, no, no. You giant out there, I know my Redeemer lives. If you are not giving in to the Word of God, you are not, your faith is not going to be built up. So there are so many things that encroach on our timing. So many things we want to enjoy at the expense of hearing the word that builds your faith, so that you know what the word said, what had already been finished for you from the foundations of the earth, so that you too will be able to stand in spite of what they are telling you, in spite of what voices you're hearing around you. He stood because he knew. If you don't know, then your faith will be shivering. You can be confessing all that you want to confess. It will be coming from your head, not from your heart. Amen? Amen. It is important that you shut off some of these things so that you can give in to the Word of God, so that you will know, like Abraham too, you will be fully persuaded in what the Word of God said. And therein lies your victory. Amen?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.